evening.
Good evening.
And welcome to United Lutheran for this midweek service as we celebrate within the format of the Holden Evening Prayer Service. Before we go any further, a thank you to the Worship and Music Ministry. Would you give them a thank you tonight for the meal? And we don't have a whole lot of things to announce, and that's a good thing. Because sometimes I feel like I'm bombarding you with all sorts of things that we all forget, because there's so much to tell you about. Through these five Lent midweek services, it has been our goal to uncover the radical message of Psalm 23, the message that has always been there. And as we will see tonight, that radical message continues on as we focus on verse 5, Psalm 23, verse 5 tonight. With that said, a reminder that we will have you remain seated until we get to the petition prayers, then we will ask you to rise. With that said, let us begin.
Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world.
Thank you.
May our prayers come before you, O God, as incense. And may your presence surround and fill us so that in union with all creation we might sing your praise and your love in our lives. Amen. Psalm 23. Let us pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for there you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Tonight's verse is verse 5. Again, it goes like this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Amen. Tonight, as I approach Psalm 23, verse 5, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to use another well-known story from Scripture to frame and give context to Psalm 23, verse 5. You know the story well. In John's Gospel, chapter 11, we are presented with something quite strange. Namely, messages sent by Mary and Martha to Jesus that one whom he loves, that is Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, is ill. It's an odd story if you sit down and just read it slowly through. If an empathetic reading by us assumes that Jesus' response would be urgent, stat, right? That's the hospital term, stat. That he would attempt to make it to Lazarus' bedside for the sake of healing. The story presents us with the opposite case, the opposite scenario. Upon receiving their message, Jesus replied casually, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." To reinforce this lack of urgency, the gospel tells us that Jesus stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. By the time Jesus arrives in Bethany, this is not a model for small town docks, is it? By the time Jesus arrives in Bethany, the town of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus has been in the tomb 4 days. "If you'd only been here," asserts Martha, "my brother would not have died." "Lord," Martha declares, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Already there is a stench. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Now, the issue, at least one of the major issues, is this. Certainly adversity and illness and suffering and ultimately death loom on our horizons. As the old farmer from Blue Hill, Rob, told me after worship one day, "I know one thing, Pastor. I'm not getting out of this world alive." Certainly adversity, illness, suffering, and ultimately death loom on our horizons and present us with a crisis. But as Jesus Christ reveals, the bigger, perhaps more terminal problem is this. It's not that these adversities become present in our lives, but that when they do, they more often than not reveal the God that we actually worship. The God of scarcity, the God of limits, the God of death. "If only you'd had been here, Jesus," is another way of saying, "Jesus, if only you would have tap danced to death's terms. It's another way of confessing that death is the Lord of existence. It is death's terms that dictate our actions. That's what she's communicating. So notice what happens in John 11. Jesus Christ doesn't try to beat the clock. Instead, he lets the clock run out. He lets death do its thing. I know that's tough for many to hear, but there's a point to it. And then he demonstrates, after he has let death do its thing, he demonstrates that he is the Lord even of death as well. That is, he transforms death from a sign of scarcity and loss and finality to a sign of abundant life. In the process, Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, the revelation, as John tells us, of abundant life, Zoein Aionion, crucifies the God of scarcity and death. Death is now harnessed by the Lord of abundant life, Jesus Christ, as the leading edge, the first stage, the first sign of new creation. Jesus Christ doesn't remove us or shield us or hide us from the adversities of life. He uses them to demonstrate his life-giving abundance. Jesus Christ doesn't remove us or hide us from our enemies, even our final enemy, the one we call death. Instead, as the psalmist in verse 5 says tonight, confesses, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Jesus Christ is the God of abundant life in the presence of our enemies, to whom all enemies must submit, even when that enemy is death itself. Jesus Christ is the Lord of abundant life, who harnesses death, even death, to his life-giving ways. Because of Jesus Christ, our joy over abundant life drowns out our fear over scarcity and death. Because of Jesus Christ, we may traverse the valley of the shadow of the ultimate enemy, death in all its forms, and confess that that valley is nothing more than the setting for his table of life-giving abundance. Even when standing in the midst of the valley of death, even when its cliffs stare us in the eyes from all directions, it is there, precisely there, that we may celebrate Christ's abundance, his abundant life, most intensely and most rapturously. Through Jesus Christ, even the final enemy, death itself, is nothing more than an opportunity to erect and celebrate from the table of abundant life, the presence of abundant life. Through Jesus Christ, that greatest enemy we call death is drained of its finality and harnessed into the ultimate sign of God's abundant life. Such is the reason that the Good Shepherd is able to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. In the end, through Jesus Christ, there is no enemy, not even death, which is not ultimately harnessed by Jesus Christ as a sign of God's life-giving abundance. It is even there, in the valley of death, that our cups overflow with the promise of life abundant. Amen. The light shines in the darkness.
And the darkness shall not overcome.
great and merciful God, source and ground of all goodness and life, give to your people the peace that passes all understanding and the will to live your gospel of mercy and justice through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God of life, remember us in your love and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom, the power,
and the glory of Jesus, now and forever. Amen.
Let us bless our God.
And serve the Lord by taking care of one another.
Thanks be to God.
Please share a sign of that peace on the way out with one another.